Hja, če ne bi bulil zaslon pametnega telefona, te po zaslugi Evrope prozorna vrata nikoli ne bi mogla presenetiti. Sledeč direktivi 89/654 Evropskega sveta morajo namreč prozorna vrata na primerni višini imeti jasno označbo.
Evropa gre deep. Delovanje Evropskega parlamenta. Oddajo sofinancira Evropski parlament.
DigiUnija. Lepo pozdravljeni v Zeitgeistu o medijski politiki Evropske unije. V prejšnjem Zeitgeistu smo orisali pregled evropskih politik na področju medijev in se podrobneje posvetili direktivi o audiovizualnih medijskih storitvah. V tokratnem Zeitgeistu bomo preučili regulacijo digitalnega trga na področju Evropske unije in vizijo vzpostavitve enotnega digitalnega trga. Strategija o enotnem digitalnem trgu se je začela izvajati leta 2015 in je del digitalne agende za Evropo 2020 iz leta 2010. Glavna izhodišča strategije razloži Scott Marcus, znanstvenega inštituta za infrastrukturo in komunikacijske storitve iz Bruslja.
This was a much broader set of initiatives dealing with, for example, reduction of parcel delivery cross-border, which in fact has been identified for years as a problem for cross-border e-commerce, harmonization and simplification of value-added tax, just a range of initiatives to make cross-border commerce easier. Geo-blocking rules also. You're probably familiar with geo-blocking. If you try to order content from a different country, you may not be able to get to the website. You might get redirected to a different website. You might place the order, but then find that you can't get it shipped to your home. Or you might place the order, find that you can get it shipped, but find that you're unable to pay. So after you invested all the time of the order, you can't actually get the goods. So again, these are all measures that the Commission is trying to deal with in separate pieces of legislation over a period of several years.
Pomemben cilj strategije je odprava tako imenovanega geoblockinga. To pomeni, da bi lahko do internetnih vsebin, blag in storitev dostopali ne glede na to, kje v Evropski uniji se nahajamo. Razloži Javier Ruiz, direktor organizacije Open Rights Group.
Well, there are two things. I mean, on geoblocking, the main thing is the portability, content portability. Then there are some other I think it's a directive around cable material, cable and internet streaming. You know, whether they should mainly for football and sports, and whether there should be a country of origin, what is called a country of origin regulation, the same as a satellite, which again doesn't help that much to end geo-blocking. So yeah, we're still very, very far away from an end to geo-blocking in Europe.
O prenosu vsebin je 18. maja glasoval Evropski parlament. Razliko razloži Ruiz.
The question is not about geo-blocking. I mean, the question, the vote has been on content portability, and that is, as I said, is quite is very, very different. You know, there is no, I mean, the rules were agreed. There was a vote to agree content portability rules, but what we don't have yet is a vote to actually end geo-blocking. So the geo-blocking accepts the segmentation of the market in different countries, and the fact that, I mean, the fact that, you know, if you live in the UK, for example, normally you will always get digital services first than if you live in a smaller country, you know, in general, you know. So the again, you know, it's quite we are very, very, very far away to. We are very far away from that. I mean, the vote in May on content portability was overwhelmingly in favor of access, of giving people access to content portability. It was like 586 votes versus 34. So MEPs definitely support content portability. Obviously, MEPs themselves are the first people that are going to benefit from content portability because they travel every month across Europe all the time. So they go from Strasbourg to Brussels, and then they also have to go back to their home country. So MEPs are acutely aware of the problems that you face with not having a digital single market. Yeah. As I said, you know, it was not about on geo-blocking. I mean, that one is still quite far.
Maja letos je Evropska komisija predstavila evalvacijo izvedbe strategije. Kot področje, na katerih bodo še potrebne spremembe, je izpostavila evropsko podatkovno ekonomijo, kibernetsko varnost in spodbujanje spletnih platform. Na področju spletnih platform trenutno prevladujejo tuje velike korporacije. Namen Evropske komisije je podpreti konkurenčnost evropskih platform, meni Robin Mansell z Londonske School of Economics and Political Science.
Digital platforms have become the main means by which suppliers of digital services aggregate data and support services and applications, as you know. And as we know, some of the major players are the big ones, Google and Facebook and Amazon and other social media companies, Netflix, etc. So these are all foreign companies who are building very substantial market shares within the European area. And so I think there is some expectation on the part of the Commission that it is still possible to encourage the development of competitive platforms in different segments of the market. So how do you do that? You make sure that the already existing large players operate in a competitive manner. And that is a very, very high expectation, because the regulatory apparatus, not just in Europe, but everywhere in the world, is not very well positioned, easily positioned to ask the question, are these big, big players operating in a effectively competitive manner, or are they taking advantage of their strong market share and monopolistic position to exploit that position and therefore make it almost impossible for new entrants to come into the market, new European entrants to come, well, they can come into the market, but to actually build market share. And this is because of the cross-sided network effects of these multi-sided platforms, which have operations both horizontally and vertically in the marketplace. So I think we're quite a long way away. My own view is we're quite a long way away from being able to effectively regulate the largest players.
Vrnemo se po kratkem glasbenem premoru. Poslušate Zeitgeist o evropski digitalni politiki. V drugem delu oddaje se bomo podrobneje posvetili aktualnim predlogom Evropske komisije v okviru strategije o enotnem digitalnem trgu. To sta reformi avtorskega prava in varovanja zasebnih podatkov. Varstvo osebnih podatkov določata splošna uredba o varstvu podatkov ter uredba o e-zasebnosti. Spremembe na področju prve predstavi Dušan Caf z Inštituta za digitalno družbo.
Ja, zdaj, razlika med dosedanjo pa novo ureditev je ta, da ureditev, ki stopi v veljavo 25. maja prihodnje leto, vpliva na vse organizacije v javnem in zasebnem sektorju, dviguje raven varstva potrošnikov, organizacije, ki bodo imele, ki imajo nad 250 zaposlenih, mora imeti osebo pristojno za varstvo osebnih podatkov. Zdaj, potrošniki bomo imeli več pravic, tudi pravica do pozabe in odstraniti podatkov, ki načeloma sedaj bila nekako se je uporabljala, ampak ta bo zdaj uzakonjena. V vdorih v informacijske sisteme, v katerih se sedaj ni poročalo, marsikdaj, obveznost poročanja so imeli samo regulirane industrije, naprimer telekomunikacije, no to bo sedaj obveznost za vse, tako da bodo morali o vdorih poročati v roku 72 ur. Kršitve pa bodo tudi zelo visoke, lahko dosegajo do 4% globalnih prihodkov oziroma 20 milijonov evrov. To recimo prej tega so bile kazni bistveno niže, tako da tudi te kazni so ena od zadev, ki bodo mogoče dali poseben pomen varstva osebnih podatkov.
Velike spremembe na digitalnem trgu pa uvaja tudi uredba o spoštovanju zasebnega življenja in varstvu osebnih podatkov na področju elektronskih komunikacij oziroma uredba o e-zasebnosti, ki naj bi bila sprejeta do maja 2018 in bo dopolnjevala splošno uredbo o varstvu podatkov. Kaj vse bo urejala, pove Javier Ruiz iz organizacije Open Rights Group.
E-privacy directive, the theory was that it was going to be finished by May 2018, but everyone thinks that that is very unrealistic. And the e-privacy directive actually covers, like, it's a very, very complex piece of legislation. It covers fairly separate areas, so things like the regulation of confidentiality of communications, for example, whether your mobile phone company or your internet service provider has got the right to analyze your web browsing history and sell it, like they're doing in the US. So that, for example, in Europe is illegal because of the privacy directive at the moment, amongst other things. And it also covers cookies and the privacy, you know, like the behavior of mobile phones, you know, like the new version covers what apps companies should be able to take from your phone or what information they should be able to access or not. A lot of stuff around location data, you know, whether you should be a company should be able to track where you are on the basis of your mobile phone. But it also covers other things around that are much more on the realm of telecoms. So it's a very complex piece of legislation. We think it's going to take probably longer than May 2018, really, for the new regulation to be finished.
Ta uredba naj bi odstranila neučinkovite vse prisotne prošnje za dovoljenje za uporabo piškotkov na spletnih straneh.
For cookies, in a way the main thing that the new law says is to bring consent in line with 16 with consent in the general data protection regulation. Like which is the main privacy law in Europe that comes into force in May 2018 fully. So the thing that it does, for example, that is quite interesting is that it extends beyond cookies. So the idea, of cookie protection is to protect people from online tracking. I mean, the problem with cookies is not that they are putting information on your computer, which may be sometimes a problem, but is that companies use cookies to see which websites you have been visiting online, and then they will tailor their advertising. They could actually be political advertising as well as commercial advertising on the basis of your browsing history. And it is that particular type of behavior that the e-privacy directive is trying to tackle. It's not about whether a website uses cookies, for example, to keep your shopping list. You know, if you go to a site and you buy something and you put it on a basket, you will use a cookie to try to keep the basket, you know, consistent every time you close or open a new browser tab. That the cookies that are problematic are the ones that allow you what is called third-party cookies, which allow third parties to track your behavior online. So that's the main thing. And now one thing that the new regulation is trying to do is to extend not just to cookies, but to other methods that can be used to track you online. So, for example, some websites, they will take measures on your, lots of measurements from your browser. They will look at the things, I don't know, like the, what kind of plugins you have installed, and they will try to create a new, an individual profile and use that to track you online. So the new regulation extends not just to cookies, but to any form of online tracking, which we think is a very, very good idea. I mean, of course, the concern from everyone is that the way that the cookies directive has been implemented so far has been really, really bad, because what happens is that people are only told, do you want cookies, yes or no? And if you say no, that's it, you can't do anything on the website. And we think that what should be explained is that actually there are there are cookies that are needed for the website to function, and there are cookies that are not needed for the website to function, but they are just there to track you online. And that cookie warnings should be a lot better to explain exactly what's happening and what type of cookies people are agreeing to or not. And there are very few examples of websites that do this properly.
Eden od bolj kritiziranih zakonodajnih predlogov je direktiva Evropskega parlamenta in sveta o avtorskih pravicah na enotnem digitalnem trgu. Ta ureja prej neregulirano področje rudarjenja z besedilom in podatki, predlagane pa so bile tudi nove pravice založnikov. Več razloži Ruiz.
The proposal for a regulation of the copyright in digital single market, the first thing to understand is that when the Commission announced that they were going to review copyright, lots of people expected that they would bring a full review of the existing copyright framework, which is the so-called InfoSoc Directive, Copyright in the Information Society Directive from 2001. And that didn't happen. Instead, the European Commission proposed a new directive that left the old directive more or less untouched. And the new directive introduces several new copyright exceptions, that is, things that people are allowed to do with copyrighted materials, and one of those exceptions will be exception for text and data mining. Now, some European countries, like the UK, already have a framework for text and data mining, and there is actually a debate on whether you need an exception at all to perform text and data mining on materials that you already own. So, so the only question is whether, you know, whether there should be an exception, for example, to take stuff online and do it. But if you read a book, or if you use a computer to process the book, you should not really be restricted in what you do once that you have bought the book. So in that sense, the proposals for text and data mining at the moment, they could be, I mean, it's good that there is something there in a way, but it's also, from the point of view of our organization, Open Rights Group, and many other groups, we think that probably you shouldn't even need a text and data mining exception for things that you own. And the problem now is that the proposals as they stand, they would only allow text and data mining for non-commercial purposes, in some cases for like research, for academic research, but possibly not for fully commercial research, and sometimes that can be a problem because it's quite hard to differentiate. There are also proposals to restrict data, text and data mining to materials that have been legally purchased, and that makes it a bit complicated when it comes to freely accessible materials. So there are lots of open access journals that you just you can access, but there is no contract, and you don't have you haven't signed any form of contract with the organization that makes the that provides the journal, and it's a bit unclear whether those would be covered by the exception. So all in all, it's still quite a problematic situation for text and data mining, which of course it's quite an important theme in terms of scientific development.
V 11. Členu direktive o avtorskih pravicah so bile predvidene nove pravice založnikov. Te bi z uvedbo plačljivih spletnih povezav koristile medijem, ki so zadnje čase na udaru zaradi interneta. Bolj podrobno Ruiz.
So that's actually one of the most controversial aspects of the directive, because the regulation, because what happens is that newspapers complain that they are losing a lot of money on the internet, that they are not recouping their costs, and they are blaming news aggregators, like Google News or other websites, which they say that they take their news and then they repackage them, and people don't go to the original source. So the new right, through the lobbying, they have created a proposal for a new right for press publishers that would operate pretty much the same as copyright. No, so it would be similar to copyright, but normally what happens is that copyright belongs in first instance to the person that writes a news article. In some cases, and in particularly in some countries, there is a tradition where the owner of a newspaper may actually get a right automatically, a copyright over the text. In other cases, the newspaper doesn't get an automatic right over the text. They just publish it, but. And then the theory is that the new right would allow newspaper publishers to pursue, to chase people who are abusing potentially their publications or taking too much text, so from their articles, you know, and putting it into a new site and basically bypassing the original source. Now the tricky thing is that copyright, as it stands, has got extensive exceptions that allow for things like quotation. So under normal copyright law, you are allowed to put a link to a site and to write a short summary explaining what the, you know, quoting the article to explain what it is. And it feels a bit difficult to see how the new newspaper's right is going to stop people doing that, to be honest.
Drugi problematiziran člen direktive je bil 13. člen, ki naj bi uvedel spletno cenzuro. Spletnim stranem bi naložil obveznost, da pregleda vsako vsebino, preden je naložena. Trenutno sistem deluje tako, da spletne strani odstranijo material, ki krši avtorske pravice, šele, ko nekdo poda prijavo in niso odgovorne, dokler ne vedo za kršitev. Ta člen bi seveda najbolj koristil v glasbeni industriji.
At the moment, some committees of the European Parliament are have rejected or amended some aspects of Article 13. So Article 13, what it says, the original version said that certain online platforms or services that allowed user uploads, you know, where they, like, basically just imagine YouTube, the model, that they must put in place some form of technical measure to check that the materials that people are uploading are not infringing on copyright, on anyone's copyright. And that sounds fair enough and simple enough, and quite simple, until you realize the complexity of doing that. Because actually YouTube can do it, but YouTube invests a lot of money, like literally millions and millions, in having that system in place called Content ID. And what we think is that, A, it's very, very tricky for news for any platform online to filter materials before they get published. So the way that normally things work is that if you upload something to a website and you're infringing on someone's copyright material, the infringer complains and then the website takes it down. And the website doesn't get in trouble if they had any materials that were infringing as long as they didn't know about it. Now, the concern is that this new obligation would reverse that, would reverse the burden of proof for online platforms and for websites, where they now would need to be absolutely certain that the materials were not infringing before they went up. And every time that people have looked at how that would impact the internet as a whole, what you would see is that potentially the whole thing would grind to a halt. I mean, there would be most websites that allow people to upload or to put things or even comments, you know, would then need to start filtering, you know, the content that people put up, you know, to see if they have uploaded some picture or some text or something that is infringing. So, yeah, again, you know, we think that this law came from pressure mainly from the music industry against YouTube, because they believe that YouTube is taking, basically is publishing lots of music for free and they don't make any money out of it. But what we need to understand is that you cannot make a law just for YouTube, and if this law came into place, it would affect every single website that allowed people to, that allowed lots of uploads. So it seems that some members of the European Parliament have seen through these problems and they are preparing amendments. But until we get the final agreement from the Parliament, the European Commission, and the European and the Council of the European Council, the Council of, we won't know what's the result. So we are still quite concerned because we think that would be a very, very problematic.
Ima pa ta direktiva tudi kakšno dobro plat, zaključi Ruiz.
There are certain things that are potentially good, actually, like trying to get more transparency for artists when they make deals with, you know, for example, to see how much money they should be getting from when their songs are published online. But overall, we think that the whole directive is really a missed opportunity to tackle some really fundamental issues about copyright.
Zeitgeist sta pripravila Vid in Zala. Hja, če ne bi bulil zaslon pametnega telefona, te po zaslugi Evrope prozorna vrata nikoli ne bi mogla presenetiti. Sledeč direktivi 89/654 Evropskega sveta morajo namreč prozorna vrata na primerni višini imeti jasno označbo.
Evropa gre deep. Delovanje Evropskega parlamenta. Oddajo sofinancira Evropski parlament.
Torej, kaj pa vi mislite o svobodi govora?